This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
And welcome into Purple Access, presented by our friends, of course, at Quick Trip. It is Judd. It is Chip Scoggins, Star Tribune sports columnist. It is the day after the first round of the draft. Chipper, I was at the Fillmore for our Purple Daily draft party last night. I believe that you were out at the Vikings and will be all weekend. So let's get right to it. Your thoughts, J.J. McCarthy at 10, Dallas Turner, surprise, surprise,
yeah,
at 17.
I will applaud Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. I thought he nailed it. I thought he absolutely nailed it. The more you thought about it, Judd, well, here's the thing. The only requirement last night was at the end of the night with a quarterback. Right? Now,
not named Bo Dix.
Not named Bo Dix.
Yes.
The more you reflected on it, I know the Patriots have a million holes and issues with their personnel. But if you believe in a quarterback that he's going to be your franchise guy, you don't pass up on him because it's just too hard to find those guys. And so if you're in love with a guy and you're convinced that he is going to be your quarterback for 10 years, you take him, even if teams blow you away with 3 first-round picks. So that the more I thought about it, that probably was a pipe dream that they were going to be able to move up and get Drake May. Mm-hmm. So then you say the most logical one is going to be J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
And I give Kwesi credit because all the chatter going up into the draft was that, hey, they're going to have to move up and get him because you got the Broncos, you got the Raiders, you don't know what the Giants are going to do. I said it, you can't play defense, you got to play offense. And then the mother of all curveball comes at 8,
yeah,
with the Falcons, yes, which I have no idea what they're doing with drafting Penix.
Thank you very much.
At that point, we're screaming, trade up. You cannot run the risk of Denver leapfrogging you or the Raiders leapfrogging, you have to trade up. And so Kwesi not only got the quarterback, but was able to keep that 23rd pick and leverage that into getting maybe this, you know, the best defensive player in the draft, but certainly one of the top defensive players in the draft.
Yep.
With an aggressive move up. And how many years do we sit here on the day after the draft and complain about Rick Spielman moving back. He wouldn't take a better player, yeah, because he wanted to accumulate these more picks to take more swings at it. I applaud his aggressiveness, and I don't care about losing fifth-round picks. Fans become so enamored with, you're giving up all these picks. They do that under the assumption, or that argument's under the assumption that you're going to hit on these picks. You're not. It's not reality. You're going to whiff in the first round, but you're going to whiff in rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. And so if there is an elite player that you think is going to be a star,
yep,
do it. And so I applaud what he did.
Forget Spielman for a second, Chipper. How about this? Just juxtapose this to 3 years ago with Kwesi.
Yeah.
I think his quote, his money quote last night about, you know, sometimes you have to take off the Clark Kent glasses.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about himself 3 years ago. He outsmarted himself.
Yeah.
And that's before they took Lewisine. He just outsmarted himself not once, mm-hmm, but twice, because why? Accumulate picks. Look at how far he has come. You know, it's funny. That draft is a massive bust. Last year, fewer players. I don't know if it's a great draft, but you got a first-round pick who's pretty damn good, don't you?
You got Addison. Addison's good, yeah.
Yeah, and then this draft, what you just said. And now people are like, well, they only have three picks next year. Okay, first of all, you can get more picks, like he said.
And they're going to get compensatory, and they're going to move back in the first round. They're going to get more picks.
I was thoroughly impressed. I was nervous for a while. The two breaks, the two things where I said, okay, this is starting to trend, because for a while it felt like, okay, this is going by chalk, basically, and I didn't think it would. But the two things that transpired, well, the first thing that transpired was the Giants didn't take one. Because
correct.
Daniel Jones legitimately might not be good. I mean, he could get people fired. And so I was really concerned when they didn't take a quarterback. And then, as you said, the mother of all, what were you doing? Falcons to taking Michael Penix after signing Kirk Cousins. Inexplicable. That's when you said what you just said, which is, okay, just trade up just a little bit, right?
Yeah. That's right. Don't. Well, when they get to 10, and it's mind-boggling. I got some tweets on this that fans are like, well, why did they give up picks to just move up one spot? Because the Broncos would have jumped them and taken Chase.
Well, they gave up a pretty nice package to move up just one spot because of that. Yeah, and if they hadn't, we would have torched them.
Yes. Could you imagine if he hadn't done that and the Broncos or the Raiders would have moved up and taken J.J. McCarthy at 10 and you would have been sitting there like,
well, you know what? That's when his job is on the line. That's what I kept saying. Is if he doesn't get one of these guys and not Bo Nix, if he doesn't get one of these guys, this is where, because O'Connell will disown him. And and now it's great for Kwesi because it's O'Connell's baby. Like, now it's up to him. I think, and I got some pushback. I think I did a write that down on this a month ago. I think they're both now going to get extensions.
Well, I'm writing this column tomorrow, Judd. I don't know about extensions. I don't know. Is it a 4-year deal? I don't know what their contract situation is.
Yeah, 4 years.
But this absolutely feels like an organizational reboot. It feels like their clock starts over right now.
It feels like their team.
This is now we see the vision, right? The last vestiges of the Spielman era are now. Harrison's still here, but
I hear you.
It's done with. This is their team. You have when you draft a quarterback in the top 10 and you clear your salary cap mess to where you have over $100 million next year in salary cap, the runway gets longer for this regime. I mean, it has to. There has to be a level of patience to see what the payoff is going to be. You're not going to I don't know that year three was necessarily make or break for this tandem. Maybe Kwesi more than O'Connell, but the temperature was definitely hotter on this tandem to say, what's the plan here? Where is this going? Well, now I think it makes sense. At least it does to me. Like, you got your quarterback. You cleared a bunch of space. You got younger. You doesn't necessarily mean it's going to lead to something great, but the plan makes sense to me now.
This feels like a completely new chapter. When you change your quarterback out, it feels like a completely new chapter. And that's what, you know, I mean, geez, going back 3 years now, Chipper, this is what we were pushing for at the time. We're like, you're going to have to turn the page here eventually. And you did. and you're right on patience. Let's just talk about McCarthy for a second. Yeah. Like, there's going to have to be patience there. Like, O'Connell now bought himself time. I think by getting McCarthy, Kwesi buys himself time. But again, just to be very clear, I really liked what they did.
Judd, do you think Sam Darnold will be good enough that this can be a redshirt year for McCarthy?
Okay, so let's explore that path. I think he'll be sufficient. But I guess my question is, does he need a 17 game redshirt year? I thought of Drake May as actually being more of a project than McCarthy. But I do think McCowan and O'Connell are going to do what's in the best interest of McCarthy as well. Like, this is not the old, we got Ponder, we got McNabb, we're starting McNabb. Oh my God, we're terrible. Let's play Ponder. I'm not concerned about that.
The reason why I say this is because I think back to Kirk Cousins' first year in O'Connell's system. And this was a guy who's been in the league, had been in the league a long time at that time. He was a veteran, you know, very smart. And him talking about how hard this offense was to pick up and how complicated it was and all the different things. So I don't know, is that a, you know, half a season thing that it takes him? Is it a full season and say, you know, there's no pressure on you to come in here just because you have a veteran in Sam Darnold and whatever happens, happens this year with Sam Darnold, but he is a bridge. Like this is, it's a 1 year deal. It's a bridge.
Yes.
So I in that respects, I think it is, I do think O'Connell asked a lot of the quarterback, and it wasn't just him. I mean, Justin Jefferson has told us he thinks it's one of the most complicated offenses in the league. Remember, he said that at the end of last year. So there's a lot that they ask of a quarterback. And so it sort of feels like a redshirt year to me, but
it might be. And to be very, very clear, not sure about you, I have no problem with that.
No, no, because
fans will start to complain, but I have no problem with that.
Yeah, especially if Darnold, you know, struggles and doesn't perform well, and then maybe you put him out there. I don't know, but a lot of the complaining I think will depend on how Darnold performs, and if it's adequate and fine, and they're doing well, and he's okay, you know, they'll be like, I think they'll understand that this is, you know, that JJ will take over next year. So I like the pick. You know, I know fans is kind of a polarizing pick because McCarthy only averaged 22 pass attempts last year. But I've long held that that's more a product of Jim Harbaugh's system than an indictment of what he is as a player. Yeah. I mean, that's Jim Harbaugh. Run the ball, physical run the ball, play act. That's just what Jim Harbaugh does. And so I don't think he was doing that because he's trying to protect his quarterback because he can't throw the ball. I don't think that at all. I think it's just the philosophy that Harbaugh has. And so we saw him make, you know, important throws when he needed to. Look at the, you know, the playoff games that he did. I think the kid's a winner. Obviously there's, you know, a lot of unknowns with every quarterback, but guess what? This is why you hired Kevin O'Connell. You have to trust that he made the right call.
Yes. And this does not feel like a reach. This does not feel like, what were you doing? What were you thinking? You know, Michael Penix, why did you take him at 8? Especially when you just signed a guy. The thing about McCarthy, too, to go back to what you just said, is what? High school, he went to 3 state championship games. He won 2, including a national championship at IMG in Florida. Michigan, he wins a national championship. I think in his career there, he lost 1 game. And it was funny, when you went through Cousins' resume, it didn't have that. And I know we could argue about circumstances and who gets what, but I think there is something about a winning pedigree that's important.
Yeah. Well, I think without doubt, it's a mindset, it's culture. I mean, everything you hear about him from the Michigan people is like, the guy's a winner. Like, he has those intangibles. And yes, he was on a great team at Michigan. A lot of NFL players on that team. But he was a big reason why they won those, you know, quarterback's the most important leader on the team. So
yes,
there's something to be said about a quarterback leading a team to 15.
And Jim Harbaugh's demanding, by the way, too.
100%. And John, you know, I'll go back to, you said this was in reach. Would you feel differently about McCarthy if they had to give up a first round pick for him or 2?
A little bit. I still wouldn't hate it. Like, I was prepared to see that play out, but a little
bit. Does it make it more attractive that you didn't have to give up?
Well, yeah, no, well, you kept your 25 first. You know, we'd be, you know, I just to be totally truthful here, I'd probably be talking about the draft picks they've given up a little bit different if they right now didn't have a 25 first. Like, yes, they have 3 draft picks right now, and yes, that seems very, very low, but you didn't give up that first. You still have that first, which is obviously the most important draft pick. So, you know, I guess I'm very comfortable with what they had to do to make this move. I thought it would have to be more. And I am totally in your camp, which is moving up that one spot. If nothing else, it just had to make everyone feel better. You got your guy. Yeah. You know, you stopped the Broncos. You stopped whomever.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Judd, I can't imagine. I don't know if panic is the right word. What do you think the pulse rate and blood pressure did in that war room in the Vikings when they saw what Atlanta did?
I thought, because I got home last night and watched this, I thought O'Connell at his press conference after the first round picks looked like he had been put through a ringer. Like, I thought he looked like your question that you just asked me. Yeah. I think if you go watch his post-draft press conference, I think that answers your question.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine. Because I asked Kwesi that at his press conference. I said, you know, what was the deliberations like, whether he had to move up, you know, from off 11, and then how much did that, what Atlanta did, really, you know, kind of create that urgency? And he said, yeah, once there was a surprise, you knew, okay, there was not going to be two options. And I don't know whether how much they like panics. I still think he would have been an option if he was there at 11. I still think they would take him McCarthy. That's my inclination.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah. If you had the choice, I think you're taking McCarthy.
You know, I saw speculation.
And I like Penix, and I like Penix, but I just think McCarthy was the ahead of them.
Yeah, I saw speculation that the Vikings, somebody theorizing or trying to report that the Vikings had Penix ahead of McCarthy and that they were disappointed by the Falcons move. I thought just the opposite. I thought they were doing cartwheels when the Falcons, you know, not only didn't trade that pick, but then took a quarterback that, you know, because I thought if they took a quarterback, it would be McCarthy. I just never thought they'd take one since they signed Kirk.
Never in a million years would I have guessed that they would have taken a quarterback there, and particularly an older quarterback, which, let's assume Kirk plays 2 years. Penix is going to be, what, 28, 29 years old?
Did you hear what the GM said today? Fano? Oh. He said, I think last night they said, hey, we're trying to go after what the Packers have done. You know, we're trying to take a quarterback and allow our guy to still play. But then today, I guess he said that this could be a 4 or 5 year thing. Like, Kirk could play out his contract. No, I don't think it's going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
But yeah, anyway, happen, he but... said, this could be a four. So basically he's saying the life of Penix's contract will be eaten up. And to your point, and Mackie and I got into it about this at that age, like, McCarthy's 21. Yeah. Michael Penix, quarterback. So you're literally going to take him out of his 20s, nearly out of his 20s.
Here's your 30-year-old rookie.
And if I'm Penix, here's the thing. Who's happy today? Like, if I'm, I mean, clearly Cousins is pissed. Yeah. And if you're Penix, yeah, you went eighth. Yeah, you get a nice payday on that. But are you happy?
Yeah. Was it a month ago where Cousins said, it's great to be in a situation where you have alignment and synergy with the ownership, the GM.
Oh, my God. I forgot. Oh, I should have brought that up. Oh, that's right.
I think you might want to bring that one back.
Oh, my. Well, and I saw a tweet. He was at the Falcons draft party. I would love to see that.
What?
Yeah, I guess he was at the Falcons draft party.
I heard
they didn't tell him till they were on the clock.
Well, here's the thing, though, and I know they said they're mad that they didn't tell him. Well, you're not going to. I mean, because Cousins isn't going to tell his agent, Mike McCartney. You think he's not going to call and tell people, hey, this is what they're going to do? Yeah. You know?
You're right. That's a good point.
There's no way you would tell a player that, because that's for sure going to be, you know.
But Kirk's whole thing was, I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, two administrations, refused to bring in actual competition because they knew how much Kirk basically said, no, don't do that to me.
Well, furthermore, you guaranteed him $100 million. There is a window with Kirk Cousins when you do that, a veteran. Wouldn't you try to maximize that and get the, you know, surround him with best the talent you get and try to win now versus
with the eighth pick?
with
the eighth pick in an incredibly deep, like, receiver draft, you could have taken, there were no defensive players gone at that point. It was
if you're Arthur Blank, how do you sign off on that after you just say,
I don't know, he did. I guess he was pissed. I guess
people, how do you do that without
saw pictures? That my theory, it sounds bad, but I wonder if they just signed Kirk because Blank's like, we have to sign him, and they're like, he's in his 80s, you know, he might not last that long. We're gonna take our quarterback then, and then who knows, man? It makes no sense.
It was one of the most bizarre draft picks I think I've ever seen.
But if you're the Vikings, you had to want to. My opinion was that Penix was not ahead of McCarthy on the Vikings draft board.
I don't.
And my opinion was the Vikings would have run to Atlanta at that point and gave him a big smooch. And yeah. And all of this tampering, it's over now. If I'm the Vikings, I'm like, are you kidding, Roger Dale? Don't punish them. They punish themselves.
I know, exactly.
They're like the kid that takes the car out for a joyride and wraps it around a pole. They learned their lesson.
It was bizarre, but you know, it Kwesi was patient and until he needed to be urgent.
Right.
And did what he did and to protect that other, you know, the second first round pick and the first round pick next year. And then to, you know, say, you know what? I'm going to shoot my shot here and try to go get Dallas Turner, who that I got to imagine B-Flow was just like doing,
and that's him, right? Like it does seem that, you know, there's no question that O'Connell drove the discussion on the May pick and then the eventual McCarthy acquisition. And then Turner, that, you know, I guess some of the draft nicks are saying that, you know, Turner has some flaws, blah, 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 but he's got all the skills. And if I'm putting him in Brian Flores' hands, I feel pretty damn good about my chances to get them to maximize his abilities.
Well, you look at the way guys developed last year, you know, Josh Metellus and different guys that I trust Brian Flores to, you know, I don't know the technical things about what they see, footwork or whatever that I just look at, he was a productive player for a great program and is really a good pass rusher. And so I have to imagine he's going to excel in this defense.
And we both talked, obviously, throughout the course of the season about Hunter and possibly, you know, can they afford to lose him? And we both agreed it would be a huge blow. But I will say this. I don't know that anyone they have currently, now Turner might be eventually, I don't know that any edge that they have currently is better, but their depth there now is so much improved that if I'm them, I feel pretty good about that.
And they're younger. And, you know, I think there's, you know, splashes or potential there for growth to become like a, you know, a premier guy. Now they have to show it. And I think they're in a good situation because of how respected Flores is in terms of just schematics, but also developer. So it was, I you know, yes, I think May was probably the preferred choice, but I Judd, again, I just don't know that that was realistic.
And you might be right. I mean, the Patriots might have just said no, which is fine. You know, my only question is, will we ever find out like what the offer was? But look, there's nobody I don't think who is going to come out of last night if they got May or Daniels, which again, to your point, was not realistic. Daniels, May, or McCarthy. I don't think there was anyone for the most part that was going to come out of last night and say that's a miss.
No, and it's funny that for all the subterfuge and speculation, the first four picks went how everybody thought they were going to go way back when the season ended, right? Yep. I mean, everybody said,
you're right.
You know, Williams, Daniels, May, Marvin Harrison.
Yep.
You know,
I guess the one thing I didn't expect, and it's not completely shocking because of how the game is played, I didn't expect 14 offensive players to go before one defensive player. That did surprise me, but you're right. The top of the draft went chalk, and to your point, no moves either.
Yeah, and I thought the most likely scenario was trade up with the Chargers at 5. And
agreed.
I don't know, you know, if he called them or did they say, you know, the way this is breaking, we can be patient, or maybe we don't feel like these quarterbacks are, you know, we need to do that. So, but he played it right and it unfolded, you know, the way it set up good, nicely for them.
Well, and it's not nearly as much fun to talk about Chipper as quarterbacks, but the other thing with what the Chargers did was, you know, that started that run on tackles. And I mean, look at
the amount
of, and I was saying this last night, you know, in some ways, especially blindside tackles are becoming like quarterbacks, rookie contracts, because, you know, we'll see this. Christian Darrisaw is going to break the bank. I mean, well, those guys get paid. So 5 years of team control on a tackle is pretty damn important.
I was talking about that with a colleague last night, that if you start ranking positions, they got a rookie quarterback, they got a left tackle that's going to get a, you know, a 5 year deal that you feel like you solved that problem. You got the best wide receiver in the game, and you drafted what you think is a premier edge rusher. I mean, those are four.
100%.
I would say cornerback is fifth. I mean, those are your five most important positions there, right? And so, you know, they don't have that elite cornerback yet, but I go back to that original point. The blueprint's starting to make sense, Judd. Like you can start to see where this thing is going. And particularly, you know, we talk about the picks that they have to give up. I mean, when you're talking about having, I looked at this morning from over the cap, they're projected to have $102 million in salary cap room. Now, a lot of that's going to go to JJ and Darrisaw, but they're going to be able to plug holes and upgrade areas through free agency and not have to rely on these picks.
And that's where, so that hits on what I think is a very interesting point, because they very well could be very competitive in 24. I don't expect them to be a Super Bowl team, but they could make the playoffs. Yeah. We don't know. But you just hit on the most important thing, which is this. I think 25 is a Super Bowl window that opens. And yes, so like if you still don't have your defensive tackle, right? Like if you still don't have your defensive tackle, you just nailed it. They're going to go into free agency and get a veteran guy who's good. I mean, they're going to be, because of how the Jefferson and then eventually Darrisaw contracts are going to be structured, you're going to have some room to play with.
Yeah.
So I think for 25, I think what you just said, because you're not going to go into the 25 draft and say, we got to fill more holes and they got to play right away. What you're going to say is, we've developed guys and now it's time to put some finishing touches.
I think they're going to be in position to make that Jared Allen, Steve Hutchinson type of free agent move in 2025.
Agreed.
Because of the money, you know, and it took some, you know, it took 2 years of releasing guys and restructuring, doing different things to get out from underneath the, you know, all the money that was pushed out into the future. But that's why we said it was, you know, the competitive rebuild to me is more like a organizational remake. Like,
right.
You're trying to usher out the old and bring in the new. And that, I think that they're well on their way that now. And I think 2025 is really going to be when they have some flexibility with their, you know, their salary cap to make.
And the funny thing about that
big moves with veterans, that proven veterans, and not right, have to rely
exactly.
on.
Yeah. No, you're talking like upper echelon day one free agency, big splash signings. Yeah. And what's funny is, you know, in some ways if this plays out like we all hope it does for their sake, the down season, the disappointment of 23 is going to be far more productive than the fun ride of 22, because of what transpired last year, it actually gave you a much clearer view of where things were and what had to be changed. You know, I mean, if Kirk doesn't get hurt, has a great year, and they go to the playoffs, there ain't no guarantee he's gone. He might be, but we don't know that for sure. I think this reset, this new chapter was driven by the events of 23, and I have no problem with that.
I wonder, and it's hard, we'll never know, obviously, but even if that scenario you said that happened, Kirk doesn't get hurt, they have a good season, I wonder if Kwesi was unemotional about that and looked at it more pragmatically, like, I don't, because you go back to that first interview he did with, was it USA Today, where he said, basically, I mean, spoke the truth. I mean, it may, you know, create headlines about something to the effect of, I don't know if Kirk Cousins is the guy that's going to lead, that's going to win your championship, right?
Yes.
Or something. I can't remember the exact.
He basically said, we don't have Brady.
We don't have Brady. Yeah. Which very few do. But what he was saying was, that's a lot of money to tie up to a guy just to be good.
So here's what I wonder, though. Now, Royce's theory is that they all wanted Kirk gone. I think O'Connell didn't necessarily want Kirk gone. So if they come back last year and Kirk continues, and I mean, Kirk was playing really well, and they play really well and they make the playoffs, I think O'Connell in his mind had invested so much time and equity in Kirk.
I'm not sure
he's gone. It's interesting because I think Kwesi is operating, how can I put this? Not in full control, but if the circumstances come to his side a little bit, like Kirk gets hurt, he's got an Achilles.
Yeah.
It makes a lot more sense to go to Kevin and say, I'm going to have to pull the plug. You know, Kwesi calls the Patriots and offers them a really nice package. And they're like, no, thank you. And they hang up. You go to Kevin and say, dude, I tried. So what else can we do? You know?
Yeah, I agree. Like a coach is always going to take a sure thing over an unproven thing at quarterback in pretty much any roster. But we know that O'Connell and Cousins became close. I don't know, friends close, but I mean, very close.
Their families hung out.
Their families hung out. I mean, we know they're.
You never would have.
But I want to go back to your point about the extensions. Mm-hmm. And maybe that will happen and maybe it won't. But I do think if you're a coach and you're starting over with a quarterback and ownership's on board with it, I think there's either a understanding, either said or unsaid, that, hey, have my little patience here. Some time here. And so I think if you're a coach, you're like, okay, they're allowing us to hit reset, to start over basically. Yes. And so I think they're going to have that time and that runway.
Well, and the way I see it again, I think 25 is where your window opens truly. And that would technically be the last year of the current contracts. And I don't think they're going to lame duck them.
No.
That.
So yeah, it makes sense. You're probably right. I mean,
so I would just extend them now. And look, you know what, if the system works, like this morning, when you look at what they've done and you look at the roster right now, you're pretty optimistic about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot to dump on here and say it doesn't feel like it did at first when it's like, what are you doing in the draft? Why are you signing Kirk to these extensions?
Well, and that's why, people are like, they got to trade Justin Jefferson. What? No, you didn't.
And they're not trading Justin Jefferson.
No.
It's like, Justin Jefferson now knows who his quarterback's going to be, and he can sleep. When his when his head hits the pillow, he can sleep just fine.
Well, and the thing is, it's like, on what planet would you draft a quarterback and then trade Justin Jefferson? You couldn't have had two more, opposing. No, they're not trading Justin. I mean, the whole plan is to surround this quarterback with the best possible talent that you can so you can.
At what he's got.
Yes. That's the thing we should discuss. It's like, I do believe, I don't think he was just saying this. When McCarthy said last night that all the quarterbacks wanted to come here. Now, Caleb Williams, he wants to go, But I think in that group where you didn't really know, is it the Vikings or Broncos or whoever? Right. If you're being realistic and you looked at it and you're like, man, I can go play with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson for a coach who's very involved with the quarterback, and you hear all the things, they're aware of those player union things where the Vikings rank high on how they treat their players and the facilities and all that. So it makes sense. I mean, he has the and two good tackles,
Yep.
You have the infrastructure in place to support a rookie quarterback.
Well, yeah. And if you look at the six quarterbacks that went in the first round last night, now I will say this, Caleb Williams, in my opinion, now goes to a situation that I like. Now I would rather have O'Connell and Eberflus as my head coach, but if you look at what Chicago's doing, offense could be a nightmare. And the Vikings do have to get some cornerbacks because
very much so. Yeah.
That's going to be a problem. But in my opinion, Jaden Daniels goes to play for Dan Quinn, who had some success in Atlanta with Matt Ryan, but we don't know there. Yeah. I think Drake May's career suffered a setback.
I do too. I think it's a bad situation for him. That to me, and I could be proven wrong, that looks like one of those classic, you're setting a guy up to fail.
Yeah. And people are talking about, well, you don't understand, Jacoby Brissett's going to start. We're talking about the Boston market. There's going to be inherent pressure. You think there's going to be pressure here for McCarthy to play? Ain't nothing like that, And the Kraft family weighs in a lot. If I was Drake May, I'd be like, this ain't great. Penix to me And I just to be clear, I don't like Bo Nix. I liked Penix, but to go there and to go to a place where you have a quarterback and now you're not going to play. If I'm Michael Penix this morning, I ain't happy.
Well, no, because one, you're at least going to sit a year, possibly two. It's not going to be the four or five, but possibly two, definitely one. And you really think Kirk Cousins is going to open his arms and say,
exactly. Exactly. You know? I mean, there's a reason why the Vikings didn't do that. One, I thought it was sort of cowardly on their part. But two, I think they knew that Cousins would just sort of.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, the Packers have done it, and it, you know, but it created some awkwardness at the end with, you know. I understand drafting a quarterback before you need, but, I'm guessing there's a little tension. Well, how in that about, building today.
How about signing, though? But, I mean, you just signed this guy. You know, in Brett,
a month ago.
Favre was pissed about Rodgers, but Favre was nearing the end of his contract.
Sure.
I don't know. Rodgers is so weird. I think he just ignored Love. But again, he was in the midst of a contract. You just signed a guy to you, what you were talking about, with the thought of, okay, we're going to improve this team. We got the eighth pick. We can really improve this team. And you take another quarterback. And then Bo Nix, to me, is just a reach. And Penix is a reach at eight. I just like him more than Bo Nix.
I like Penix. I mean, I thought he'd be an option. If McCarthy wasn't there, I would have been fine with him at 11. I thought Nix was a reach. I just don't think he's in that. I don't think he was in that same group.
He's the ponder of this draft from that draft, which also was deep in QBs. Now, a lot of those guys did fail, but, you know, it just feels like, oh, my God, they're all gone. Who should we take? Let's just take Bo Nix. Yeah. Last thing for you. What was your thoughts on the report that came out from Adam Schefter right as the draft was starting last night that the New England Patriots and Minnesota Vikings called the LA Chargers about Justin Herbert? I know that you were at the Kwesi press conference when you were asked about it. Curious what your reaction to that whole thing was.
Kwesi shot it down, obviously. I guess it wouldn't surprise me, you would call, but you also, I mean, I don't know how that salary and dead money and all that, you're just, it doesn't seem like it would make sense, would it? Or it
could
even
work. We kept hearing about it, and people were like, it can't happen, it won't happen, but it's not happening, no one's calling anybody. Schefter don't make stuff up.
Well, no, he doesn't make stuff up. No. I mean, would it surprise me that they called just to see what it would take? No. I mean, you're probably not doing your job if you don't, you know. But I don't know really how far it got, how serious it got, if it was just one of those kicking the tires type thing. I don't know. But to me, the most sense, Judd, was at least financially, like with all the dead money and all that. I don't know how that would have worked, and it's above my pay grade. But
and you would have been taken on, and I like
huge
Herbert a lot.
I like him a lot. I love him. Yeah,
yeah. But you would have been taking on a very big contract.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, again, they've done all this work to try to free up the space where they can try to build around a young quarterback that's inexpensive. So it would definitely been a departure from the plan that they've been building towards.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't know how serious it was, but it was interesting. But with what they did, makes sense for what they've done the first 2 years in terms of setting himself up for this situation.
I do agree completely. So here's what Kwesi said about the report, okay?
Yeah.
I wish I could tell you how much joy we get from seeing the stuff that gets written. Those aren't things that come out of this building. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know where this stuff comes from. Sometimes it works out in our favor. I can't even respond. He didn't deny that they made the phone call. I've seen that today. You know, he's denying it. No, he's not.
No.
He's just saying, we're not the leak.
Yeah, he didn't come from our, we didn't leak it. Yeah, no, if Schefter said it, I'm guessing it's true, right? His draft.
But I'd love to know, like, what was, if there was going to be a proposal, were they, now, because the rumor, when this got out, the rumor was that they were offering Darisaw in a package.
I mean, again, very
bizarre.
Possibly. I mean, I don't doubt that they called him because you, why wouldn't you? You know, I mean, that's.
You think O'Connell was like, I've lost Kirk. I'd really like a veteran quarterback.
maybe. Like, and not just a bridge. Maybe let's, you know, try to take a big swing here.
Right.
You probably come up with all kinds of scenarios to try to figure out that quarterback spot, you know? I mean, it's like, okay, if we can get Justin Herbert, let's, you know, problem solved.
Right.
But you open a different problem because of the finances, and then how are you going to build
well, the Chargers around it? And the Chargers do too.
Exactly.
The other thing I'll say is this. I wonder if some of this is rumor or speculation about Herbert himself. If you are Justin Herbert and you're about to be coached by Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman, who love to run the football.
Yeah.
We've seen that kid play. Justin Herbert is he belongs in an offense, not a slice and dice ground game.
Think about him here last season. I mean, I like him a lot. I mean, that's his game. Dude, his arm talent so is just here. He's just like picking him apart.
What's with the ability to flick the ball? Jay Cutler had some of that.
I know.
The flicking of the ball.
I know. It's absurd.
But he has no. But I mean, the motion, he tightens it up.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're questioning just the fact that things that you laid out, you're probably like, hey, let's call Harbaugh just to gauge, see what, you know, what it would take. Now, they, you know, if I'm the Chargers, I'm like, no, this guy's a franchise quarterback. You know, we're riding this out. So, but it's interesting nonetheless.
All right, sir. Great stuff. I know you're going to the press conferences today for both of the first round picks. Make sure that you press McCarthy very hard in his outstanding hockey career for me.
How about him just saying, wait a second, there's Wayne Gretzky. What?
You know,
what a
do a search. Wayne Gretzky, if you have any involvement with hockey and are a high pick, because there's another kid or two who got drafted at some point, Gretzky calls them too.
Oh, okay.
Huge class act. I think he's a huge class act.
He told the story of a friend of a friend. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, that was a ultimate, like, I didn't see that would come.
but you know, he was really good in hockey.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds
my guess is he's a Red Wings fan. Although he might be a Blackhawks fan. He's an Illinois kid originally, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's from,
he might be a Blackhawks fan.
So he had to be a center, right? He had to be a centerman.
That's my guess. You know, he might've been a defenseman. He's big enough, right?
Yeah, he talked about the physical part of it that he liked.
Big enough to be a defenseman. I mean, he could have played wing, but my guess is at his age, he was a center because he probably dominated.
That was my.
I'm saying too, center or defenseman, and if he wants to play for the Wild once the Vikings are done, I'm more than happy to let that guy with that size.
Billy Garen will take him.
Billy Garen would love him. He'll slap the C right on him. You know what he can pair with? Brock Faber on the blue line.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. I bet he and Fabe start to hang out. They seem very much to be peas in a pod type of guys.
That's right. I know.
All right, brother. Great stuff. Talk to you later. Thanks again. Bye-bye.